In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, especially you candidates and you nominees for vicarage. The word of God for this morning is from the third chapter of Malachi, especially the first verse. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Around the year 586, the city of Jerusalem was burned. The temple was destroyed. And how no one ever thought for a minute that something like that could happen. And, of course, God's people as a political entity ceased to exist. The reasons for this judgment from God were obvious. The people were hard-hearted, unrepentant in their sin, and they engaged in idolatry of every shape and form. If someone had at that time accused them of being the people of Yahweh, you would have been hard-pressed to find a single shred of evidence to convict them of being so. In their hard-hearted unbelief, they had always wanted to be like all the other nations until finally God obliged them by treating them like all the other nations. The people were swept away in waves into the Babylonian captivity. But then the unthinkable happened. Something virtually unknown in the annals of history. This annihilated nation started to make a comeback of all things. In 538, Persian King Cyrus, now the world ruler, looked at these Jews hanging around Babylon and said, "What are you folks doing here? Let these people go home." And then in 516 BC, 70 years after Solomon's temple had been destroyed, the temple was rebuilt. And what a happy time that was. But then another 70 years or so went by, and that brings us down to Malachi's time. About that time, the people were in sad shape once again. In sad shape with some of the same old sins as before, howbeit in somewhat more subtle ways. A whole new crop of problems started to arise in the reestablished Jerusalem congregation. They were poor. There was famine in the land. The once mighty nation was, for all practical purposes, reduced to the city of Jerusalem and what you could see from the walls of Jerusalem. The people were going through, as it were, an identity crisis. Who are we? Or even, what exactly are we? Because the center of the world's activity was now hundreds of miles to the north and to the east. The people started to feel like small potatoes. They had no class. And their temple, now 70 years old. The original excitement from rebuilding the temple had now worn off, and they were just plain bored. The mortgage burning ceremony had taken place years ago, and they didn't have any sense of pulling together on anything, overcoming obstacles in some kind of a worthwhile project. And the building itself was no big deal either. Where Solomon's temple may have had gold, they would have something like linoleum. And in the rebuilding of the temple, yes, there was a big worship service to accompany that, but there was no real theophany, an obvious visible manifestation of God's presence that would wow them at that time. For 70 years, their worship went on business as usual, grinding the gears. And their worship lapsed into formalism, going through all the proper motions, at least on the outside, but their heart wasn't really in any of it. Their faith was in the doldrums, and their life followed suit. They were sitting on their hands. And when sinners have nothing to do, sinners find all sorts of things to do. They started to complain about how bad they had it. There's nothing but injustice. The wicked are prospering, meanwhile we are suffering. And for lack of anything better to do, they started to nitpick and complain about each other, and even wound up being conformed to the world instead of transforming the world, as even their own households started to fall apart. Now, in just a few weeks, you gentlemen will be going into congregations that may have many of the same problems that the people in Jerusalem had in Malachi's time. You may go into a congregation that's poor. You may go into a congregation who has a very small domain if they feel like conquerors at all. You may be in a congregation that's suffering some kind of an identity crisis because they're so far away from all the centers of the world's activity. They may be conducting business as usual and starting to get bored with it. You may be going to a congregation whose excitement with their building program has long since died down, and they're still laboring with the fact that the bank wants the monthly payment next month as well as this month, too. You'll be going to a congregation which has not seen any theophany, any visible sign of God's presence more potent than AAL napkins. And they may be longing for some kind of a sign that it's all for real. They may be sitting on their hands looking for excitement, and they'll find it somehow or another, even if it's of the bad variety. The only answer for all of this, the only answer, is the same for us as it was for the people in Malachi's time. Adon! The Lord, Jesus Christ, the angel messenger of the one covenant of grace, going all the way back to the solemn, gracious oath God gave to Abraham. Adon, the Lord, whose way was prepared by Elijah, John the Baptist, his messenger, and whose way is still prepared in our world by his messengers today. People like you and me. When you go out into your congregations, you will be angels of the King. You will have the joy and privilege of announcing the coming of the King to his temple, no matter where that happens to be, maybe even in Iowa. You will be angels of the King. The King will increase, but you will decrease. Don't get in his way. But on the other hand, don't get so insecure about this whole business either, about being an angel of the King. In the kingdom of God, you are like an Ed McMahon who doesn't have to wow anybody with anything. You will not come with signs to be observed, but you will come with the all-sufficient word. And by the sacraments you administer, you will be showing the people before their eyes that Adon has come to his temple. Now, the people that you minister to are going to show in many obvious ways that they're still living with one foot in this old, worn-out age of this world. But at the same time, through the word and through the sacraments, you will be announcing to them that already now they are in the new age, that they have one foot in the new age where the King, Adon, is all in all already now. You will be able to sit and observe with the members of the congregation Adon at work. Adon will shake the people out of their doldrums. He'll increase their faith, which in turn will make changes in their life. He'll make the congregation of people have a new importance as you announce to them their new identity, the forgiven sons of the King. And they will be receiving through the Word of God a new purpose, that they are to declare His praises in the world. The king will do this, not you. You are just His angel, His messenger. Nevertheless, you will have the joy and privilege of announcing, just like Paul announced to Timothy and his congregation, you people don't have to feel sorry about yourselves any longer, because Adon cares about you and has forgiven all your sins. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself anymore. Let your prayers and supplications rise up to God, even for those people who are at the hub of all the world's activity, because they desperately need your prayers. They need your prayers because, after all, you are sons of the King who is the one mediator between God and man. You will be angels of the King, announcing to the people, Adon has come. Adon is coming soon. Long live Adon and his people. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Adon, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.